Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
You got to get on VFN TV. I'm encourage you go to VFNTV.com and subscribe to the newsletter. Be informed, be plugged in. Listen, God is speaking, and if we can hear what God is saying, we can actually put it into practice, and maybe we can spare ourselves from some of the things that there are yet still to come.
That's right.
I mean, listen, we're like five, six days away from an election.
Yeah.
I mean, this country is, we're so much in transition right now. We need God. We just got to pray.
That's right.
Let me tell you, it doesn't matter who gets in office. I mean, right? I mean, you want to vote your values. I mean, it does matter. But ultimately, what I mean by that, what I'm saying is that, you know what? Jesus still reigns supreme. Jesus is still the king.
That's right.
You know, but I want to encourage you, vote your values. Mm-hmm. Make sure that you vote, you know, the way that God would want you to vote. We have a segment. We have lots of segments, actually, on the Torch. Tons of highlights on voting. Go ahead and put the word vote in the search in the Torch, and you'll be able to see all the different highlights and segments where we've talked about voting and voting God's values. One of the ones that I'm reminded of is this: check with Jesus before you vote.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Check with Jesus. You know, abide with him. Spend time with the Lord and say, God, how would you want me to vote? What are the values that are important to you? You know, what sticks out to me right off the top is, you know, my goodness, the value of standing with Israel, the apple of God's eye.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would say that's important value
Very
to God.
Important.
You know, I would also say that anyone that's willing to defend the Constitution, I mean, the Constitution is what keeps our country together, and it keeps our country from actually being splintered and totally, you know, divided in terms of anarchy and chaos.
Mm-hmm.
When we actually do have these elections, it's an actual beautiful thing to see a transition of power every time a presidents come and go, that it happens so smoothly. But with that, and defending the Constitution, what's really important here is the First Amendment, which gives the freedom to believers and Christians to be able to preach the gospel unhindered and freely, and also for the church to gather. I mean, that's important.
Mm-hmm.
Because we got to continue to share the love of God. We got to continue to share the hope of the world. Let me tell you something. There's no hope found in no man, and no job, and no person, no relationship, and no finance. There's no hope found in no 401k.
That's right.
The only true hope that can be found is in having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm just amazed. I'm amazed. You know, the Bible says the God of this world, the little G God of this world, has blinded the eyes of the unbelievers so that they cannot see. There's people that cannot see right now. They're blinded by the fact that none of these things satisfy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, SOS, what's your source of satisfaction? I mean, don't we have seen enough evidence?
Mm-hmm.
That it's not in a job.
That's
it's
right.
Not in a relationship. It's not in things. It's not doing things your way. At the end result, when I've been at many people's bedsides when they're about to pass away, they only have two regrets.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I would have done more for my family because I'm getting ready to leave them. And I wish I knew God because I'm getting ready to meet him.
That's
those
right.
are the only things that matter in life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're a parent and you're raising children, let me tell you, it's the godly parent that you want to be right now to give an example, a legacy for your children. What are they going to carry on?
Mm-hmm.
You know, years of ministry and talking to people. A lot of times people are just dealing with the environment and stuff and things that happen.
Right.
You know, but we can break that cycle. We can break that generational curse. We can see a better future for our family and for our children by us stepping up and saying, you know what? I'm going to be first. I'm going to be the one to make things right with God. I'm going to give him my life, and I'm going to do what I need to do to start having a relationship with the Lord,
mm-hmm.
and others will follow suit.
Right.
I can pray, you know. I can be the one that stands in the gap for them. Because if you really want to see things turn around in our nation, if you want to see things turn around in our country, you know, it's not going to start from the outside. It's going to start from the inside. It's going to start when we all decide to make Jesus Christ the Lord of our personal life, when we decide to put him number one, when we decide to turn all of our attention and all of our focus on the one,
mm-hmm.
that he can be taken care of.
Right.
You know, right now what we want to do is lift up. I just got word that Eddie is in the hospital with chest pains. And we just want to just lift him up, and we want to be able to pray for him. And Lord, we just lift up Eddie to your right now. We ask for healing in his body. We ask you to minister to him. And we just say that the chest and the heart, and the heart to function in the name of Jesus. And we just speak a blessing over him right now. And we ask that, Lord, that you would guide the doctors and just give them wisdom. But we pray that he just walks out of there fine and ready to go, and keep on living for you and giving you praise and glory through all of this.
Amen. Amen.
What we're going to do right now is that we're going to listen to a segment called Power. We're talking about power. You know, it's just, there's so many forms of power out there, Pat. And what we're seeing is power struggles everywhere in this country.
Right.
Chris, you're seeing all different things happen. But, you know, there is a source of power, of true power. And we got to know what is it and who has it and what can that power do?
Mm-hmm.
What source? What is it? Who has it? And what can that power do? There's many forms of power, but we want to listen to this, and we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about it some more, because power is very important. Let me tell you something. Power makes things happen.
That's right.
If you have no power, ain't nothing going on.
Nope.
Ain't got no power, got no electricity right now.
That's right.
Ain't nothing happening.
No A, no AC, no heat.
Ain't nothing going on, you know? And in your physical body, if you ain't got no power, if you're weak, ain't nothing happening. You got to have power.
Mm-hmm.
So, but power is not necessarily, you know, you hear people say, oh, power is evil. No. Power is a good thing. Depends what you use it for. Same with electricity, you know. It's what do you use power for? You can use power for good, or you can use power for bad.
That's right.
But power is a good thing used in the right way if you have the right power. Well, I want to share an encouraging word with our BFN radio listeners today. And I wanted to talk about, I want to share with you something the Lord really laid on my heart and during my abiding time, and it has to do with power.
Mm-hmm.
Power, guys.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, you know that there's all sorts of power that's available out there in the world today. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You have power and you think of brute force.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, you think of military armies. You think of someone physically, you know, grabbing you or manhandling you, if you will, and, you know, forcing you to do something because they did it by force, right?
Right.
You think about money.
Right.
Money's really could be a powerful force out there.
Mm-hmm. Right. For good or bad.
Good or bad. So it really all depends how the person uses it. But think about it. How many things you know could be as powerful as money? I mean, so much evil has been done with money, you know, and at the same time, so much good. A lot of power has come out of that. When you think about the missionaries that have been sent across the world, the churches have been planted, the people that have been ministered to and fed, and all the preaching that's being shared around the gospel, you know, around the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty awesome. It takes finances and money to do that.
Right.
But there's a real power when it comes to money. In fact, they often talk about, you know, when they're talking about the economy and money, they say, what's your purchasing power?
Mm-hmm.
What's your purchasing power? You think about another form of power, and this, we're going somewhere with this, because we need to realize and understand what true power is really all about. And so another form of power that we may be familiar with is the power of words.
Mm-hmm.
Think about this. I had this thought. Think about all of the books that have ever been written.
Mm-hmm.
And think about the time. I mean, our colleges are filled, you know, with books and words that people are reading, they're studying. I mean, Steve, you just finished 4 years of college. I mean,
Lots of books.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And by the way, we are so proud of you, man. That's just an amazing feat. I mean, I couldn't imagine. That's just awesome.
But it's amazing how it's just like you read one book and all of a sudden somebody's situation or their direction in their life changes, and or what they're going to do is they read an idea or a theory and they've got to tell everybody about what they read in just that one simple book.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You think about it, my goodness, I mean, how many people have, you're right, their life has been changed because they actually read a book.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And you think about speeches that people have given. I mean, speeches have flipped nations before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Simple words, I mean, by evil men, have impacted people. Yeah, I think about a football locker room or a speech, a pep talk that a coach gives to his athletes on the biggest game of their life, guys. You know what I'm saying? They're in the big one. They're in the Super Bowl or the big game, and he's rallying the troops, and he's got them all together, and he's saying, hey, man, we're going to fight this whole game. We're going to give it 100% this next 60 minutes. We're going to win this inch by inch, yard by yard. But I'll tell you one thing we're not going to do. We're not going to give up. We're not going to slow up. We're going to keep going until we win. And somehow he paints the winning of this game to this huge monumental task. You know what I mean? But it's amazing how words, how speech stir up an individual. And before you know it, these guys are so, I mean, they're banging on the walls. They're smashing their helmets against, you know. And I think, Pat, maybe you did this before, but they're smashing their helmets against the wall.
A couple times.
My goodness, what are these guys getting ready to do? That's why I love watching college games. It's so exciting, you know, but they're pumped.
Yeah.
But it was the speech. I'll never forget my high school football coach, Jimmy. His name is, I never forget the man, but I'm forgetting his name. His name is Jimmy, and Jimmy Stevens. And he went on to coach for University of Florida with Danny Werfel when I had a momentary time where I thought I could play football. Then I go, oh, never mind.
It was a momentary moment.
Yeah, when I saw that people were like three times my size, I don't have a future in this. But during that time, I remember this speech he used to give all the time. It was called "Don't Let Go of the Rope." Mm-hmm. I can't tell you as a 16, 17-year-old young man how many times I used to remember that famous locker room speech, "Don't Let Go of the Rope." And the whole thing that he was trying to communicate with the "Don't Let Go," he had T-shirts printed up and everything, was don't give up, don't quit. When you're dangling from the end of the rope and you want to stop, don't let go of the rope, you know? And so those guys that were going through grueling football practices and dropping out in the Florida heat, you know what I'm saying? And they weren't quitting because Jimmy said, don't let go of the rope.
Don't let go.
Right.
You stay brutalized there. But you think about speeches and words. Baseball game, you know, how many times have we told the young boys, you know, keep your gloves in the dirt, your hands on your knees, and get ready for that ball to come to you, but you got to play with everything you got. You got to be focused. You think about a general. Steve, I know that you're in the military, but you think about a general or a major or a commanding officer,
right,
that he has to speak to his troops. This is war. These are bullets. Yeah. These are real casualties. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
And what do you say to a platoon? What do you say to a group of soldiers when they're getting ready to storm, you know, the enemy, when they're getting ready to go and attack and invade?
Oh yeah, it's just like those critical words you need to share, knowing that every single one of those guys who's listening to that knows that not everybody's coming home.
That's right.
And they embrace that reality. But at the same time, though, it's just that leader has those words that bring encouragement, that bring that fire, that makes us want to go into where none of us want to go.
Exactly.
Oh, wow.
And you're stirring up
George Washington.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well,
talk about George Washington today, so that's pretty cool.
Oh, cool. Awesome.
But exactly, they're stirring up the emotions and mind of these soldiers. I think about one general, and I don't remember who this is, but I remember someone telling me this story where this general and his men, they were completely surrounded, guys, surrounded by the enemy. So he gathers all the troops. He gathers them in front of him. He says, you know, come on in. I got something to share.
Right.
So he says, men, he said, I want to let you know where our enemy is located. I want to let you know where the enemy is at. He says, men, the enemy is located to the right of us. He says, men, the enemy is located at the left of us. I want to tell you where our enemy is. The enemy is located in front of us.
Right.
And the enemy is located behind us. And he looks at them and he says, there's no way that the enemy can get away from us now. There's no way that the enemy can get away from us now. I mean, he could have said anything during that time.
Wow.
You know, and where fear will try to jump in, he says, no, no, there's no way. Go in any direction. We're going to get them this time.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So words, you think about even politicians and people that right now that are running for office. I mean, you have presidents that are candidates that are running for president. Mm-hmm. And what they're sharing is their vision. They're sharing their plan for America. They're sharing their thoughts and their platform and their strategies and what they want to see accomplished for America.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And all of that's being done with words.
Right.
When a candidate wants to release something, you know, he's going to give a major speech on XYZ, mm-hmm. whatever those issues are.
Right.
And with those words, you know, I mean, you can remember Ronald Reagan saying, you know what, America's a city on a hill, you know, and,
yeah,
and
right.
those words, he was a great orator.
Mm-hmm.
He used to give masterful speeches, and what it did was just stir the hearts of men to look at a better day for America.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm getting at sources of power,
right.
sources of power that change people's lives. We're talking about brute force, right? Physical force, rather. We're talking about money. We're talking about words. You know, but I want to encourage our VFN radio listeners and everyone that's listening today that, you know what, there is a greater power when it comes to changing the hearts and the lives of men. And that power is the gospel of Jesus Christ.
That's right, amen.
It's the gospel of Jesus. It's the greatest message because it comes with true power to truly transform
mm-hmm.
the life of anyone.
Mm-hmm. What every heart needs to hear.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, motivation may come, and as anyone knows, motivation will go.
That's right.
You know, you know, I'm pumped. Give me that Rocky theme, and I'm going to get and go work out. But as long as that Rocky song is, once it's over, for some reason, I no longer have the unction no more. You know what I'm saying? While the Rocky song is playing now, I'm mm-hmm. ready. I'm ready to run. But, you know, that track only lasts 2 minutes and 30 seconds, I think. You know, once that track is done,
mm-hmm.
my sense of motivation begins to diminish. Well, I want to tell you that Romans 1:16 says, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes.
Mm-hmm.
It's the gospel. God could have used anything to change the hearts of men, but it's the gospel, the preached word of
mm-hmm.
1 Corinthians 1:18 says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God.
Mm.
You know, I look back and I think about what Jesus said of himself when he's talking to Martha and Mary after Lazarus passed away. And Steve, he says, listen, I am the resurrection and the life.
Right.
I am the dead raiser. And I am life. And you think, wow, he's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
John 6:63 says, the spirit gives life, but the flesh counts for nothing. And this is what Jesus says. He says, the words I have spoken to you are spirit and life.
Wow.
The words I have spoken to you are spirit and life. Right. Jesus' words, his spoken words, right? They're full of life. They're full of power. Never underestimate the power of the word of God when it's spoken to men.
Right.
Because it's the power of the gospel. It's the power of the word of God that truly resonates. Reinhard Bonnke, the famous, I guess, or well-known evangelist to the continent of Africa, they say he's preached to more people, millions, than maybe anyone, you know, ever before. And Reinhard Bonnke said, he said the Lord told him one time, this is, Jesus' words in my mouth are just as powerful as when Jesus spoke them.
Wow.
Think about that. Jesus' wow. words in my mouth and your mouth are just as powerful.
That's right.
As when Jesus spoke them. The word of God says that God's word does not return back void. And I want to encourage you, you're listening today, and people are looking for a message. I mean, you think about the power of words.
Mm-hmm.
Think about what happened in Germany with Adolf Hitler. I mean, those were words, but you're talking to a people in Germany that were so, you know, their economy was ruined. These people were just so down and out that they were willing to believe anything. They were willing to believe a lie. And went along with what Hitler was doing and the killing of all of these Jews
mm-hmm.
because of words.
Wow.
Because of words. And it's powerful that we recognize that, listen, you don't have to look for any other words. You don't have to look for a self-help book. You don't have to look for a cheer me up message. You don't have to look for these other things to give power fuel in your life to change. Because I understand that people want change.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people, change is something that's more than a campaign slogan.
All right.
That's the truth.
You know, it's more than that. But only the gospel can really bring mm-hmm. true change.
Right.
I love when Jesus is talking to the disciples and he's ministering and everybody's hanging around Jesus when everything is good.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's hanging around Jesus when everything is good.
That's exactly, yeah. And it's amazing how it's just like they stuck with him. Then when a lot of things change, then...
they scattered.
Right.
Yeah.
They're gone.
They're out of there.
Everyone wants to hang around Jesus when it's blessed me. You know, I'll take this and I'll take the healing and I'll take the job and I'll take, oh, yes, it's good. Jesus prayed for me. I'll take heaven. You know what I'm saying? I'll take all this stuff. But when Jesus starts sharing, eat my flesh and drink my blood, and he starts talking about you making him the Lord,
they all left.
They all start to leave. Yeah. They all started to leave. And then he looks over to Peter and says, So Peter, mm-hmm. I'm paraphrasing here.
Right.
So, Peter. Are you going to leave me too?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to leave? And then Peter's response, and you got to love it. And this is found in John chapter 6.
Mm-hmm.
Peter says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. You have the words of eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
I want to encourage you this morning. You've been reading God's word. You've been abiding in God's word. You've been sharing God's word. Let me tell you right now that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the greatest message that could ever be shared with men today. Mm-hmm. People are sitting in front of their TVs in a 24-hour news cycle. Mm-hmm. They're looking on the internet. They're reading their phones. Right now, there's so much information and so much noise, as they call it, on Facebook and Twitter and all the social network media sites. And there's so much information, and people are looking. They're looking for real change.
They're looking for hope. They're looking for a word. They're looking for some type of message that's going to give them that encouragement.
Absolutely. And they're even looking to political parties. Let me tell you that, you know, Jesus is not right wing or left wing, right? God's not left wing. He's for the whole bird.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? It's not in a political party.
Mm-hmm.
The only hope that you can have for your life to be transformed. And I know from my own personal experience, and I know you guys yourself, because I know you, that only the gospel, only the message of the gospel, which is that Jesus loves you and that he will forgive you of your sins.
That's right.
That he will wash you clean. The Bible says that he'll separate your sins as far as the east and as from the west.
Mm-hmm.
I always say, who could love you like that? Who could love me like that? I always say that, listen, I'm not in a place where I could turn that type of love down. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
I need that love.
Absolutely. Because, you know, men will forgive you, but they may not forget. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And only God, only the forgiveness that's offered in the Lord is worth having. I mean, he'll forgive and he'll choose not to remember what you've done before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's true power to change your life. I mean, who I was before and who I am today are two different people. I look back at my life before, and you can find some of our stories in meetmyfather.org.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, we try to share some of it as much as we could, you know, but who I was then and who I am now, I look at the guy who I was and I feel sorry for him.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I look at Peter and say, wow. You know, I was just depressed. I was lost. I was looking for love in all the wrong places. Mm-hmm. I was trying to achieve and do all these things, you know, according to a worldly system. And it was never enough, you know, partied and had all, you know, relationships. And it never happened. And if someone listening today is saying, you know, if I just had another relationship, everything will work out. I mean, that would change my life. That would be so powerful if I just had someone to love me and had a relationship. There's someone saying, you know, if I had a baby, if we had a baby right now, things would change. That would just, that would so powerfully rock our family, would bring us together, you know, and that would be so great.
Mm-hmm.
You may be thinking, if I had a new job, if I just had a job, if I just made just $10,000 more and I had more money, that would bring the change that we need in our life. You know, if this, it's like, wait a minute, you want real change? You want things to really change in your life?
Mm-hmm.
Give your heart to Jesus.
That's right.
Amen.
Give your heart to Jesus because it's transformative. He will revolutionize your life. And I mean, you'll be flipped upside down in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's lasting change. It's lasting fruit. And I want to encourage you, for those of you that are sharing the gospel, for those of you that are getting the good news out, that Jesus loves, that Jesus saves, that he's not counting men's sins against him, that he's wanting all men to repent, that he wants all men to be with him in heaven. That is it's the great news. Amen. Of the gospel.
All right.
For those of you that are, I want to encourage you, God's word does not return back void.
Amen.
There is no greater message on the face of the planet, of the universe, that will affect a man's spirit, a man's total, complete life. They don't need a leg up. They don't need a rah-rah message. They don't need to speak. They don't need to look at anyone else except look to the cross and to look at the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I want to encourage you that if you're being blessed by the VFN radio program, continue to share VFN radio with your friends, with your family. I know people are sharing it with Facebook. They're tweeting on Twitter. Let me tell you, this is the gospel. We need to bring hope to this generation. America is a cup of trembling right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've been talking about on this radio program, and you've been hearing it, but listen, we need to cry out to God. You need to cry out to God. I mean, the economy has showed us that it's not in money. Our government leaders have showed them that our hope is not in government leaders, right?
Right. I'm
not even talking negative about them. I'm just saying that it's not about men.
Mm-hmm.
It's about God.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. You know? And only God can bring that change. So I want to encourage you, continue to share, continue to get the word out, continue to share VFN radio. Bless other people with the word of God.
Amen.
That's going to hope. I want to actually share a testimony with you of someone that was truly transformed by the power of the gospel. Mm. And his name is David Berkowitz. You may be familiar with him. I don't know if you guys have heard about him.
Oh, yeah.
He went by the name as the Son of Sam, or you know, back in the 70s. But this guy was the most notorious serial killer in New York.
Uh-huh. Wow. I remember that.
Yeah, this guy was a pretty bad dude. I mean, for 13 months, he terrorized New York City. Now, I mean, I was just a small child at this time, but I still remember years of people still talking about them, many years.
Wow.
You know, my parents, you know, they're talking to their friends, whatever. You just hear this, because I don't know if there's been another serial killer like him that's affected, you know, New York in this way. But he went on a killing spree. He shot 13 people and he killed 6 of them.
Mm.
And then he would taunt the police, check this out, by writing letters to the newspapers, to some journalists, and they would print the newsletter. And he was dubbed the 45 caliber killer. And so people in New York during that time, they were panicked, man. He would go to these lovers' lanes and find people parked in cars and kill them, and pretty crazy. And
kind of breeding fear around the whole city.
Terror, man. Terror.
Wow.
And he called himself the Son of Sam. And get this, Sam was his neighbor's dog. The dog, David Berkowitz, I'm talking about the power of God, the power of the gospel to change someone's life. Because David Berkowitz gave his life to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
In 10 years after being in prison, he gave his life to the Lord.
Wow.
There's a movie out there called The Son of Sam, The Son of Hope.
Mm-hmm.
I encourage you to get it. And basically, he was involved in the occult. He was involved in all sorts of witchcraft and all types of stuff.
I didn't know that.
Let me tell you, that you don't want to mess with the occult, spiritists and witchcraft. You're opening yourself up to demonic devils.
That's right.
You don't want to get involved in any of that stuff, because you're tapping yourself up to demons, and that's not a place where you want to go.
Mm.
And so this is what happened to him. So what recently a news article came out from Daily News, because this marks the 35-year anniversary of these killings that happened during the summer.
Right.
So they want to interview, you know, David Berkowitz, and it's been 35 years. He's still in prison. In fact, he's serving six consecutive 25-year life sentences.
Wow.
Wow.
He's never getting out.
No.
He's never getting out. In fact, this is what he says. He no longer seeks parole, saying it's the proper road to take to spare the victims' families further anguish. So he's like, I'm not even going to seek parole. I'm not even going to try to get this, you know, off. But why am I sharing this? Well, David Berkowitz found Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. He found Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. He talks about how he was depressed. He talked about how he was suicidal, you know, his own personal life. His he was born in a really bad situation. And he was lost, man.
Right.
He was lost. And he found Jesus. Actually, Jesus found him, right? And he gave his life to the Lord. And you'd be so proud of him. He's very remorseful and very sad over what has occurred and how the devil used him earlier on in his life. I think he's like 59 years old now. And for the last several years, at least the last 15 years, but I want to say even longer, he's been ministering to, he ministers to tons of people. He's done interviews, mm-hmm. video interviews. He spends, I think, 4 hours a day in prison besides working and doing his other tasks. He responds to all different, he has a typewriter and he types out messages and he ministers in the jail.
Sounds like
that's cool.
And you're talking about transformative power. I'm going to let you listen to a little bit of David himself. Listen to this.
My name is David and I've been in prison for going on 34 years now.
Was in prison for 6 consecutive life sentences. I want to just get this to the point here where you kind of hear him talk a little bit. I want you to hear a little bit what he has to say.
Before I came to know the Lord, my flesh was just going crazy and had no control over anything. It didn't even try to control me.
So he's, you know, going crazy all over the place.
I did some very serious crimes. Six murders, injured a lot of people. I have, you know, grief over that and a lot of regret. And God is still continuing to heal my life from those things. And as time goes on, I continue to pray for the families of those I hurt. A lot of this was the suffering I brought on myself through my own sinful actions. And but God is good. But God is good, and He's brought me a long ways. I think, in all seriousness and soberness, when I shudder to think what my life would have been if I never came to Christ, I honestly believe that I would not be alive today. I probably would have taken my life because in my times of depression and darkness, there was really no reason to get up in the morning, no reason to go through the day. It was a lot of pain, a lot of mental and emotional anguish and guilt and torment and all these things that I was carrying. Mm-hmm. And when I came to the Lord, you know, the Lord began to change all those things. Yeah, okay, that sounds easy. That sounds like just words. People could say, yeah, sure, right. I don't expect people to believe me, but that doesn't matter because the Lord is still working through me. And so that's really what counts. So I'm the Lord's servant, and I know what Jesus Christ has done with my life and I'm so thankful for that. I began.
Is that amazing?
Wow, that's awesome.
Is that amazing? That's David.
Wow.
So we're going to have that posted for you on the torch so you can listen to that complete interview.
Awesome.
But is that not beautiful, Steve?
Wow. That's just amazing just hearing like such a powerful 180.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see like that is just a exemplifies just the awesome power of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Because so many people. And even I think about the word and Jesus says is that for those who you know we're perishing,
mm-hmm.
I can't think of the scripture right now, but it's like we just don't understand it,
yeah.
And then in the life that we live for ourselves and for the world and for our selfishness, but Jesus Christ comes into our life and just His love empowers us. His love consumes us, and I think about that moment when I encountered His love. Mm-hmm. And it changed my life.
Amen.
And isn't that powerful?
Yeah.
Isn't that powerful?
Yeah, you know, it's very powerful.
I can relate, you know. One thing he says, you know, waking up every morning being depressed.
Right.
I remember one time in my life, you know, it was a period of my life when I was in college. Man, I used to wake up so depressed before I knew God. And I was so depressed mm-hmm. that, I mean, I would literally, guys, I'd literally stay in my bed and I would have to tell myself. I mean, I would imagine at least 50 times. And I mean, I'm not even exaggerating. Mm-hmm. And I'd have to like say, today is going to be the greatest day of my life. Today is the only thing I knew at that time. And I would just have to like say this over just so I can get out the house. And I have compassion for those that fell that way. You know, let me tell you, life is depressing without God.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't even make sense to me without having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and many people have gone through a lot of experiences and a lot of hurt and a lot of pain. Mm-hmm. And they're looking and they're searching. And I want to encourage you, search no more. If you're prodigal and you're listening today and you once knew God and you once walked with God, and let me tell you, God loves you.
And God it goes back to what you were saying before. It's like, you know, you were talking about a spouse, you were talking about a promotion, or you were talking about a house or a baby. Mm-hmm. And that's so true, because it's like if we look to any other choice, any other something to fill us that is not Jesus Christ, it's going to end up the same. It's going to end up being empty, just like every other choice that we make. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if you're searching, Jesus Christ is what you're searching for. It's just a magazine, a TV show, a marketing ad. It says it's something else. But what Absolutely. You're searching for is Jesus Christ. That is, he is your answer.
Yeah. You know, it's almost like turning on a tub. You know, you could go in your house and turn on the water faucet and tub, and you could turn the water on full blast, mm-hmm. you know, and you can walk out your house and come back 24 hours later mm-hmm. and you'll realize that that tub will never be filled unless there's a plug in it. I mean, it can run 24 hours a day, endless amount, but unless there's a plug at the bottom of that tub,
uh-huh.
that tub is never going to be filled.
Right.
And let me tell you, I mean, that was me. And I tried to fill my life with everything imaginable, and I was still never satisfied.
It's good.
That's all right.
You know, I was still never satisfied. And so until I met Jesus, and when I surrendered, and I said, you know, I'm not going to do this John's way. I'm not going to, you know, try to find fulfillment in the things that the world tries to find fulfillment. You know, it's like catch a clue. You know, I need to find Jesus. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're looking for the Lord today and you're searching. Don't try to figure it out. Don't try to clean yourself up. Don't try to make yourself better. Mm-hmm. You know, I had to start brand new, guys, you know, because I had an understanding, a familiarity with the things mm-hmm. of God. Because I grew up in church and stuff like that. And in America's like... That's how America is. You know, people wearing crosses today, and it's like, you know, yeah, I'm American, apple pie, baseball, Chevrolet, and I love Jesus. It's like, you know, isn't that what I'm supposed to do? You know, and it's like, wait a minute. Following Jesus is not just a saying or wearing a cross, but it's about having a personal relationship. And you know what, guys, I didn't even know that even existed. I didn't even know that was actually available
right.
to me, and that Jesus actually wanted a relationship with me. He wants a relationship with you. He wants to talk with you and speak to you and learn of him and his word. And he has a mm-hmm. plan for your life.
Right.
I want to encourage you. You can go to meetmyfather.org. There's a simple plan for you to find Jesus, to find God. Mm. You know, this is so important, because this message is so encouraging, because this is what we need. This is the word of the hour right now. I mean, think about it. The power of God to transform a life. The power to, mm-hmm. to reach people. I mean, think about all the different forms of power.
Right.
You know, there's power in books. Mm-hmm. There's power in speech. You think of all the speeches that have ever been given that have mm-hmm. been used. I mean, think of wars that have been used to stir men's hearts to give their lives. Books that have been read, that people have read, it just totally, those words totally transformed their lives.
Right.
I mean, the Declaration of Independence was actually penned. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was written down. There were ideas and concepts that were put down on paper. Because it was put down on paper, people were able to agree with it. But there's nothing like, you know, before I even say that, think about the power of money.
Right.
The power that money has to affect and bring change. What about the power of just mere force? I mean, you know, force out there can get people to comply to do things that they really don't want to do.
Right.
But when you have force and brute strength and might, that there's a sense of bullying, you know, past that those that are weak.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a power. There's a power that's resident, a true source of power that's resident in the gospel of Jesus Christ. I mean, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of the gospel that, you know what, God's not going to hold your sins against you, that there is freedom and liberty and knowing God,
mm-hmm.
that you can be set free from the powers of darkness and of Satan and of hell and of depression and anxieties and fears and worries and sin and bondage and perversion and being a slave to sin.
That's right.
To evilness. You can be set free.
That's right.
You can be set free. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to allow the gospel and the power of God to transform your life. Maybe you've tried everything else. Maybe you've read everything else. Maybe you're looking for other books and other inspiring movies or listening to quotes. And people love quotes.
Mm-hmm.
But there's nothing like the power of God and His Word to be able to bring true life change.
Amen.
You know, Jesus says, these words I speak to you are spirit and they are truth. So I want to encourage you, the power of the gospel. You know, when you've tried everything else, when you've tried to change your life and you can't even change, you know what I'm saying?
I know.
When you're trying to tell yourself, be good, but it just doesn't happen. When you've read all the books, when you've watched the Rocky 10 times, when you did everything that you could do to get the motivation, and then you try this and you think that's going to work. And if I do this and that's going to work, and then mm-hmm. then someone told me and I tried that. And at the end of all of that, your life is still the same. It's still broken. It's still messed up. And you're like, man, what is it? What do I have to do? Let me tell you something. Let the power of God touch you. Let the power of God transform you. Let the power of God come into your life and let God just invade you, because you need God.
Mm-hmm.
You need God.
Right.
You need God. You need God. There's no way to do it. There's no way to live this life without Him. The only way that we can walk and have true life is by having that personal relationship, is to know Him and to make Him known. You know, mm-hmm. He is the light of the world.
Right.
He
right.
is the hope of the world. We've got to make Him known so that the world can know.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to encourage you as we get into to go into the wisdom moment and we begin to share the wisdom moment. I just want you to remember
mm-hmm.
to make Jesus Lord, you know, to make Him the Lord of your life. There is no other way.
All right. That's very good. You know, I know personally, without Jesus, I don't know where I'd be. You know what I'm saying? It's just mm-hmm. God is, I mean, if you only knew where we came from.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? Second Street? Oh, my goodness. Who would have thought, right? That's amazing.
Absolutely.
That's amazing.
So what do you think, Chris? I mean, how transformative is the gospel? You think about what happened with the son of Sam, but I don't even want to call him that anymore because it's not who he is, you know. But
mm-hmm.
the power of the gospel, man. I look at my own life and think, wow, mm-hmm. you know. I mean, not that, you know, I'm perfect. Trust me, far from it, you know, and not that everything is, you know, hunky dory or whatever, but you know. That's a bad term. I guess what I'm trying to say is that I still need Jesus. You know what I mean? I still need Him. You know, I need Him. I need Him just as much on this side of the cross and I needed Him on the other side of the cross, if you mm-hmm. know what I mean.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, definitely. I can relate to everything you're saying and even to, you know, to His testimony. You know, that's where I came from. I came from a pit of depression and, you know, I was doing everything that I possibly could to mm-hmm. to numb myself, and you know, even battling with suicidal thoughts at a, you know, time in my life. And
mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, we talk about it often. I mean, I was smoking my Bible. You know, you know, we say it in a funny way, but you know, I mean, I was in a bad place. You know,
just lost, weren't you?
I was totally lost, and had no outlook on life whatsoever. But it, you know, but it was that day that, you know, when Jesus found me in my pit, you know, mm. and He pulled mm-hmm. me out of it.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And so I can totally relate, man. And it's only through Him, through His love, you know, that's the power that you're talking about. It's His love for us
mm-hmm.
that'll pull us out.
Absolutely. You know, when I remember the day that you actually gave your life to God And man, what a difference. I mean, what an amazing difference in that I can just tell, but I can only imagine what you can tell.
Oh, you know?
I mean, where were you before me? Weren't you on all sorts of medications and stuff?
Oh, yeah, man. I was on like 6 different types of medications for depression and, and you know, severe migraines. And, you know, yeah, I was a pill popper. I was a drinker. I was a smoker, you know. I was there, you know.
But God set you free.
But God set me free from all that. I take no medications today.
Yeah, not even an aspirin.
You know, so, yeah, God totally set me free. You know, I was told, you know, going back and looking at it, I was just totally bound and, you know, by, you know, the enemy that was causing all these things in my life. But when I was set free, all that left.
Isn't that amazing? I mean, and that's the love that God can do. I mean, you know, in the book of Revelations, you know, even it says they got all caught up, you know, with all their good deeds, and they didn't even know that they were so blind that they didn't even know that their good deeds meant nothing before God. You know, and I think that sometimes, you know, what happens is that people get caught up and they go, well, I'm fine, I'm okay, or I'm not that bad, or, you know, I'm not as bad as this person. Let me tell you, sin is sin. You know what I'm saying? Just because maybe you didn't smoke a Bible or you didn't do whatever, you know, you weren't the former son of Sam, you know, it doesn't mean that, you know, oh, I'm not that bad. So like, he's really going to hell and I'm not. And I'm hoping that we can have a conversation on talking about the reality of hell. I mean, it just seems like people are just ignoring that reality. Let me tell you something. Us knowing about the reality of hell is going to, number one, keep us from there, right? And keep us just with a heart of passion to God, but it's also going to help us and give us a burden to be able to share with our neighbor and our loved ones, saying, look, you don't have to go there. That wasn't even created for you. It's created for Satan and for the demons. You don't even have to go there. God loves you and has an amazing plan for your life. And this is the work of the church. This is the work of the body of Christ, is to talk about the lover of our soul. Listen, if you got a new car, if you got a new TV, if you got an iPad, you know, whatever, you got to be ringing our phones off the hook, right? Look what I got. Look at this. Look at that.
Right.
People that say they don't know how to talk, it's amazing how they can give a commercial for what they just bought. Like, I thought you were silent. I thought you didn't talk. Oh, you talk a lot, you know?
You've just been listening to the highlights from the daily VFN radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the daily VFN radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.